thing is going to take us. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I put one foot in front of the other, and what I seem to find out is that what my steps are ordered by him. Oh, come on, somebody. And since my steps are ordered, every time I move, he makes sure there's something there for me to put my foot on it. And because he orders my steps, then he moves the stepping stone on this side, and I see it over there, and I walk over there. And then he'll move it over here, and I'll walk over there. And what I find is that if I follow his path, that he will lead me to a place of righteousness, that he'll lead me to a place of blessing and prosperity. But he'll lead me, even if he didn't ever bless me, but it's just because he's good. See, we don't praise God for the blessings that he give us. Those are byproducts. Those are just consequences of us blessing him. But I love him because he first loved me. When I was in my sin, when I was out there doing what I wanted to do, when I was out there saying what I wanted to say, when I was out there going where I wanted to go, and I was out there running and ripping and being into all kinds of mischief. Oh, come on, somebody. I ain't been saved all my life. And even when I was saved, there was some struggle. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey, you tuning in here, you just got a real pastor in a real church. That you got people who have problems. Oh, come on, somebody. There's nobody perfect here. We got some problems. We got some situations. But we understand that salvation for some of us is a process. Oh, come on. So look, we're going to hold your hand. We're going to be with you. We're going to help you go through it. We're going to hold you accountable. Oh, come on, somebody, because we know it's a process that people just don't get there overnight. So there is a piece of accountability that must go in the role and play in this. Are y'all with me? So with this is that, do pastor have some shortcomings? Absolutely. I got some things that I'm not so proud of. The other members in our congregation have some shortcomings and things that they've been through. Absolutely. But these things are in our past, and we're now overcome by the power of our testimony. And now we've learned from these things. And as we walk forward, oh, come on, somebody. Oh, y'all with me? I'm about to preach already. Because we come forward, and what? I'm going to be better than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I made a mistake, I own it. I own it. Yes, I did it. Forgive me. Now let me correct this going forward. See, we in a day in society now, people just, nobody can be wrong. But sometimes in holiness, because God has a way, you can be wrong. Let me give you a little bit about the Safe House Church. Safe House Church, we work off three principles here for those who watch it for the first time. We work off three pillars of, I like call it pillars of our faith, for which our church is built upon. Because every church has their own little niche and things that God has put upon them to do. But for us, it's three things. DEA. Call it discipleship. We're going to teach you, baby. You know, I ain't going to spend a lot of time yelling at you. You know, I'm a teacher by trade. God has given me a beautiful gift for teaching. And God said, you know what? That what you are doing for the world, I need you doing it for me. Matter of fact, I gave it to you to help my people. And you spending all your time doing it over here. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you, some of you can sing and got all these gifts and talents. And you're spending all your time doing it in the secular world when God gave you the gift for him first. And then if they get the benefit from it, great. But it was for him, because all these gifts are what? Put in the church for the magnification of the church, for the church to be glorified, for the church to be without spot and wrinkle. So we're going to disciple you. We're going to teach you some things. We're going to show you what we know. We don't know everything. We're always each and every day learning more. One thing I've learned in all my knowledge is the more I know, the more I realize what I don't know. Oh, there's always somebody who knows more. There's always a new level. There's always a higher height. There's always a deeper depth. So this is why Paul says it, what? That we're perfecting. Perfecting mean what? That I'm kind of never, ever there, but you can continually get closer and closer and closer. Like I told my people who my mathematicians, those who calculus, you know, when we get to a limit, that we never really reach the limit. We get what we call delta epsilon close, which means I'm half as close, and I'm half as close, and I'm half as close, and I'm half as close, but I never, ever get there, because if we ever get there, then we think, well, we're perfect, and we just stop. Mm-hmm. So the second part that we work on here is empowerment. Mm-hmm. Empowerment. This is a place of empowerment. We're going to teach you. I don't want you just sitting down here, sitting on your hands and just coming to hear me talk. That's not what this is about. But we're in this together. I'm just the man of the hour now. And then who knows, in a year or two, it could be you. Oh, this thing is not just, this is not a thing that I just sit on the throne. Oh, absolutely. I'm not no God. Y'all ain't killing me. Because God said, what? He don't want no man to touch his glory. But we empower people. We put you in position. Now, once you have some knowledge, we'll put you in position and help you get out there, help you to work and work in the call that God has given you, whether you're a singer or whether you're a teacher or you're a preacher, whatever the case may be. Why? Because God has given us all gifts and talents that we're supposed to be working on. Some of you have ministry of helps, and some of you have healing, you know, healing in your hands, and you just don't even know because you have not activated those gifts inside of you. Nobody's been there long enough, or you've not been anywhere long enough for somebody to activate what God has already put inside of you. Do you not know for things to work, there has to be an activation point? Oh, come on. An activation point. So here, this mission, we activate. I know you're not going to get it right every time. If the truth of the matter is, every time I sat up and I told, and I mean, I taught, and all the times I got it wrong, I would never teach. But what I've learned over time is that when I got it wrong, go back and correct it. And people respect you. See, the problem is not getting stuff wrong. The problem is not being willing to go back and fix it when you do. We all gonna get some stuff wrong. But have the power to go back and get it fixed. Then we work off A, accountability. So that's discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Accountability, to me, ties this all together. Why? Because I can't just do any and everything I want to do. You know, my congregation holds me accountable. You know, I just can't run rapping and do this and do that. And I hold them accountable. Why? Because I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. You know, and people often go and say, oh, you can't judge and this and that. Yeah, you can. You just got to know the word. The word says, if you judge, just know that you're going to be judged by the same token that you judge somebody else. That's word. So we hold each other accountable. Why? Because we all want to go to heaven. We all plan on going to heaven, and by faith, we're going to heaven, and we are inviting you to make the trip with us. So God bless you all. Love you all. That's a little bit about the Safe House Church. I didn't mean to go that deep, but I want to go ahead, and I'm going to get right into what the Word of God has given us. Again, thank you all for all the birthday wishes for our son on yesterday. He is now the big old three. Man, it's happening so fast, but I'm so grateful, and we love him dearly. You know, it's our one and only son. And I'm so grateful to my wife and the Jordans and the others who've come by and those who've called and sent gifts. We appreciate that. It's definitely appreciated. And I want to let you know that. Now, real quickly, hey, if you're on social media somewhere, hit the share button. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Y'all know I'm just going to be as real as I can be. You know, y'all ain't going to get no sugarcoat. And I'm not going to be doing a lot of singing because I can't do that real well. You know, but I know my limitations. But I will teach this thing so it'll be taught like it never been taught before. If you want a strong teaching ministry, this is where you want to be. You know, I tell you right now, I'm not the best of the preachers. But I know when it comes to teaching, this is what God has given me. So you can put me up against anybody. I'm ready. And that's not just brag, but that's me being confident in the gift that I know God has given me. I can't hoop and I can't move a crowd and all that kind of stuff. But what I can do is have you break this thing down so you'll know it and you'll walk out and be able to teach somebody else. Are y'all with me? So this morning, I wanted to go our subject today. Is the color of God. I know right now that is probably somewhat thought-provoking or something to think about, but I want you to think about the color of God. You know, we have this thing now where people have been, you know, we in this day of age where we are going against, you know, racism, and now it's more rampant than others, and it's coming all over the place, and now all of a sudden nobody's colorblind anymore, which I've always said anyway, nobody's colorblind. You see color. Stop lying to yourself. It's just that you see color and you don't want to deal with it. Because it causes you to check some things within inside of you. You know, my members will tell you, even on yesterday, I was having a conversation with some of them, was saying some things, because, you know, pastor is not perfect. You know, he has his own set of issues. And I was running by them and say, look, you know, I was thinking this way and I was wondering about this. Why? Because that's me constantly looking in the mirror and say, Peter, what do you have on your face that you need to pull off? What is it on you that, you know, that others see that would deter them from coming to know Jesus and his fullness? What is it about your life, or what is it that you say out of your mouth sometimes that might push others off to the side, and therefore they don't want to know God? Because why? I do not want to be a deterrent from anybody to know God in all his glory. I don't want to be a deterrent from anybody from them to know him as their savior. So I constantly look at myself. You should constantly look at yourself. Lord, what is it about me that I need to change? Because we're working to this thing of perfection. So as we talk about the color of God on today, I want you to keep an open mind in the sense that I'm going to pour some things into you. I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm going to give you some verse. And I want you to be able to take these things and go back and study them. And this is what we do here. We ask you to take notes. You know, I often say it, and I'll say it again, that the shortest pencil is better than what? The longest memory. The shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. Why? Because you can write it down, and it'll last eons. Amen? So this morning, let's go first. I want to go to Mark Mark, and I want to give honor to our first lady, Felicia Ely. I'm so grateful to have her in my life, and all the saints of the Safe House Church. It was definitely our intention to go back in July, but I think it's just using some wisdom here. We're not in a rush. We're gonna be okay, because I know that the Holy Ghost can sustain us. Amen. And you can come in and we can get these meals and we can get these what I call snacks, and we can connect. So those who want to connect, they know how to connect. Those who want to be a part, they know how to be a part. They can pick up the phone and join calls with us. Y'all know I answer anybody's call. So if you just need somebody to talk to and, within distance, I come and visit. Because I know some of you are hurting and you need just to see some people. And I understand that. And just know that Pastor Ely is here for you. So you can give us a call at any time or send us a Facebook message or Periscope or whatever the case may be. And know that your pastor is here for you and I'm doing all I can. But my number one goal is to make sure that the people of God are safe and that the people of God, when they come back to the church, that they are in a safe environment. Amen. So therefore, it was definitely my intention for us to get back here in July. But right now, even in our state, the governor, if you're not familiar with that here in North Carolina, he's pushed us back another 3 weeks. So now hopefully we're looking at August. And you know what August is? August for us is birthday month, meaning what? It's the church's anniversary. We don't have no big drawn out thing like that. We'll just go somewhere like we normally do and just celebrate each other and celebrate what God has done in our lives. And for us, even through a pandemic, that this church has been growing. Do y'all not realize that? That through a pandemic, this church has grown. So maybe our first time getting together is going to be anniversary Sunday. And that's going to be a glorious day, just being grateful for God for us to make it for another year. And also us coming back together to be in his presence. But I would definitely keep you abreast of that. Call of God. Let's talk about it a little bit. So I want to go to Mark 8 and 24. We're going to start in Mark 8 and 24 on today. I'm going to give me a second here. I'm trying to get it up here on the screen. Mark 8 and 24. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background. So I always, if you ever listen to me teach or listen to me preach, that I always make sure I give context to content. Okay. I can give you all this content and it means nothing because it's not in place. It's not the what, the when, the how. You don't understand why they're doing what they're doing or why they're saying what they're saying. So I'll try to make sure that I give you content before I give you all this other stuff. Amen. So I make sure that you get all these different pieces on that before that. Thank you, Sister Rivers. I think we actually going on year two, ain't we? Yeah, I got to count. Yeah, it'll be two next year. I mean, in August. All right. So let's go on into this. It says, I'm going to read. Let's start with a color. So what is color? Now, if we understand that we follow color, color in its truest form is just a construct. Color is a category. It's how we categorize things. It's a way for us as human beings to conceptualize things that we're working with. So when we're looking at color, color is actually a measurement. It's a measurement of different hues and saturations that have been put together. So in this day and time, everybody can do a little, everybody in this day and time probably, messes with little filters and stuff on your Snapchats or your Instagram, and we do all kinds of things. And what that is what it's all a bunch of different hues and colors being transformed. And as they move, then they change their tint, they change their look, they change their perception, and all this kind of stuff. Now, when we look at color a little deeper, what we find also that color is actually a characteristic of visualization. If you visualize something, then typically you see it with color. Even if you're colorblind, what you do see is contrast. You see darks and lights. Are you with me? Most animals are colorblind. Most animals do not see with color. So knowing this and knowing this fact that what we're looking at is a form of interpretation. So what we see is light is based on that measurement of wavelengths that we see. So if you see certain color, I think if you see white, that means the wavelength is actually it's either shorter or longer. And then black will be exactly the opposite of that. So it's based on all these different wavelengths. And as these wavelengths come, then our brain receives these. And as we receive these, then it's it's interpreted in our mind. Do you not know that we actually see upside down? Mm-hmm. It's a scientific fact. I tell you all, and I tell anybody, Google what I say. I have no shame in my game. I'm bound to be wrong. I can correct it. Amen. But I know that we actually see upside down. So when your eyes actually take in what you see, you actually see it upside down. And your brain has a way to interpret that. That turns it upside on right side up. Do y'all not know that this thing between these two ears is a very, very powerful tool? God knew what he was doing when he put that there. you know, that's why human beings are on top of the food chain, because of the complexity and the things that we can do. I saw an article not that long ago that was talking about if the how was it saying? It was saying that if our brain was actually a computer, that how, you know, how big it was. It was something ridiculous, like the size of the Earth, of how much space it can hold. And, you know, and on average, it's already been said that most human beings do not use more than 5 to 10% of their brain. Mm-hmm. 5 to 10%. So knowing this about light, so for us actually to see something, what we're actually seeing is what? Our interpretation of the world. Think about that. So now light has to come, like, so when we see color, what happens is light comes through our eye. And when light comes through our eye, then what is our brain interprets those different wavelengths. And when it interprets those different wavelengths, we have these things called cones and rods in our eyes. And as we have the cones and the rods in our eyes, they have different lengths. And because they have different lengths, then they what? They detect different things. It's just like this. It's so it's say, for instance, they have a detector there, and as that detector goes in, it hits this, and they tell it, oh, it must be this color. And it hit that, it must be that color. And then what we did as human beings is that we came to a point that we decided that this was going to be red. Why is red red? Because a community of people decided that it was going to be red. Mm-hmm. Red just didn't come out to be red. Why is the background purple? Well, it was a group of people who got together that said that when it hits this kind of hue and its saturation, that we're going to call that purple. See, again, people have put what? We've made all these constructs ourselves. These are not God things. These are all things that God has allowed us to do. Why? To organize our world, to help us to see things the way that we believe that they should be seen. Remember, I said the way that we believe they should be seen. So remember, the Bible tells us what? That our ways is not his ways, that our thoughts are not his thoughts. Are you with me? And because of that, sometimes there's a disconnect. So this is why he tells us what? That he said that we lay down our trough and then what? We pick up his and what? We lay down our yoke and we pick up his and learning him, for his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. Why? Because we as people, we can make our own burdens heavy. We as people of God can make things so heavy on ourselves and to a point of saturation that we are what? Ready to give up. And we often do. Why? Because it's became so heavy on us because of our own doing, because of the way that we see things, the way that we organize things. Not that God told us to do it a certain way, but we have decided within our power and our knowledge and all this logic and all these things that we know. And since we're so advanced and we're so smart and we got it all together, we decided to say, hey, God, I'm going to do it this way. And I just want you to follow. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going somewhere with this. That I want you to follow, not the other way around. Not that, Lord, you lay down the construct. Lord, you tell me what this is, and I accept it for what you tell it to be. This is why many people have a problem accepting the gospel. Why? Because it wants something that we constructed. Because, see, if man constructs it, then we always have this thing of subjectivity. And with subjectivity, what I find from my research, being a researcher myself, is that subjectivity is always due to the interpretation of the instrument. Oh, come on. I know I'm not trying to get into research methods class, but I got to get this to you. All right. So now, so that means what? If the instrument or the measuring device is flawed, then everything that's being measured from that point forward has to be questioned. Everything from that point forward has to be looked at as maybe it's off a little bit. This is why we have a group of community of people who come together and they do what they call standardized things. When we hear that our children are taking standardized tests, what they're simply saying is that we've made this test the same for everybody. So if you meet a certain level on this test, then we can put you in a certain category. Are y'all with? And y'all learning anything? Talk back to me. Y'all, we're on Facebook. This is not regular church, so I need to hear something. All right. So now we are standardized. And now we've gotten to a point that people have gotten to the point that they have not only standardized church. Woo. Yeah, I'm about to go there. But they also have standardized God. He doesn't meet this criteria. He doesn't fit into this loop. He doesn't fit this way. He's not between 8 and 5. Oh, he's only not 15 minutes. Nope, he didn't do it when I wanted him to do it. Nope, I didn't get what I wanted out of him. So therefore, I standardize him and I put him in a category that he may or may not belong, depending on who? My interpretation. All right, so now we got a little background. Are y'all with me? I was just getting warmed up. All right, so Mark 8-24. Give me a second here. So I want to make sure I give y'all some background here. Let's get a little camera switch here. Mark 24. All right, Mark 8-24, and it says this. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Let me tell you what's going on right here. So what we have here, Jesus what, is coming in, and he's performing a miracle. And this man is asked to receive his sight. So Jesus has prayed for his sight. And after this, he actually tests him. He said, what do you see? And he tells Jesus, look, I don't see men as men, but I see men as trees. Now, a couple of different things to me in this verse actually stands out is that, number one, he's saying that he sees men as trees. So that tells me at some point, maybe he's seen a tree and maybe he's seen a man, which would also infer, just from a logical point of view, this is not being spiritual or super deep, but just from a logical point of view, what this would infer is that what? That he has seen before. Think about that. Some of us have seen color before. Some of us have decided what color was going to look like before, but somewhere along the way, our perception has been twisted. We live in a day and time now where people are going to try now forcing their way and their thought life on us. And I'm here to tell you, people of God, that we are to stand still and know that he is God. Just because they call it right, oh, don't make it. I just got through telling you and explaining the last 5 to 10 minutes of how things come to be, how purple became purple, how red became red, how standardization became standardization. It becomes when a group of people have decided, and now we've given that group of people the power to decide, and now they make it so for everybody else. So we're in a day and time now where people want to standardize sin. Oh, another little shot. I feel my Holy Ghost coming on, y'all. They want to standardize sin, because if they standardize sin, then that means you and I are not meeting the standard. You and I are outliers, which we already, the Bible told us that we was already what, a peculiar people who was called out for him. But when they standardize sin, what they're trying to do is make it okay for everybody to do it, and nobody even bats an eye anymore. So, you know, if I go out here and I take babies out, nobody bat an eye anymore. If I go out here and I want to live homosexuality, nobody bats an eye anymore. If I want to go out here and I want to get married 900 times, nobody bats an eye anymore. If I want to go out here and I want to steal money, I want to hate my brother and hate my neighbor and all these other ungodly things, because it's just more than two sins. Come on, somebody. Some people just, oh, it's just abortion. Oh, it's just homosexuality. No, that's way more. If you're cheating on your wife, if you're cheating on your taxes, if you're going to work and you're not getting the man a full day pay, oh, come on, somebody. There's so much more. And the Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things that get us. It's the little things that set us back. See, people are always on this big stuff. No, the thing is when you were dealing with lust before you even got pregnant, when you were dealing with lust in your heart before you got to that situation, when you was already had a cheating heart when you was out there before you did the cheating. You know, it says that what? If you already did it in his heart, what? So is he. You didn't have to physically do it. Why? Because you already did it in your heart. You might have done it physically. Oh, I know everybody ain't ready for this kind of talk, but this is Safe House Church, and I'm just being a pastor because I got a group of people I believe want to serve God, and if anybody else want to listen in and get a piece of that, come on and join us. We don't force anybody to do anything. It's your decision. Okay? So here he finds himself. That what? Now he's saying that he see men walking as trees. And then the Bible goes on and says this. And after that, he put his hands upon his eyes again and made him look up. And yet he was restored and saw every man clearly. What happens here? When God comes back and he touches him and prays for him again, his eyes didn't change. You know what changed about him? His perception changed. See, what we have is a perception problem. Because when I see somebody of another color, I already perceive them to be bad before I talk to them. When I see somebody white, I perceive them to already be racist before I talk to them. When I perceive somebody of Hispanic culture, I perceive them to be illegal before I even have a conversation with them. When I see somebody of Honduras or Colombia, I already perceive them to be an MS-13 gang member before I have a conversation with them. Our perception is our problem. And somewhere along the line, we have lost the ability to see clearly. Oh, yeah, right. No, 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 we're talking about that. The color of God today. See, I have to catch myself from time to time. And I had some conversation with even, you know, some others, like, you know, I went somewhere and I was spending some time, you know, just enjoying the fishing. And I was like, well, I'm thinking to myself, why are these people here? Oh, I can talk about me. Because I have my own perception issues sometimes too. And I'm looking at them like, well, why are they here? Why? Well, first thing was really, I was trying to preserve myself because I didn't want people to think that I was with that group. So since I didn't want people to think I was with that group, what I found myself is actually distancing myself with them when they look just like me. No, they didn't act like me. They did some things that maybe I wouldn't have done. But at the same time, what made me feel that I was more a better and they was inferior to me? And yet, sometimes we as black people and people of color, we get on, you know, talking about how white people try to make us feel inferior and all this stuff. And sometimes we do it to each other. Oh, come on, somebody. I can talk about me. I have my issues too. And this is why I have to lay before God. Say, Lord, let me see clearly. Because see, what gets on my nerves to the nth degree is now we have pastors who've been around for years and they don't see clearly no more. Oh, I know I'm not making friends doing this, but I'm just God's man. And you know, if God tell me to do it, I just do it. It is what it is. They don't see clearly no more. And because they don't see clearly no more, what happens is they start labeling men to be trees. They started to label men to be trees. And what are trees? Trees are what? Not human beings. Trees are expendable. We cut them down. We make things out of them. Trees are seed. Trees are canvas for us to make the things of God, for us to make the things that we desire to have. Not each other. Not men. So we have a perception problem because we don't see men as being men. Mm-hmm. And when I say men, I say it in a unisex way. I don't say it, you know, just being from a patriarchy point of view. I'm just using the words that God they have here in the Word of God. We have a perception problem. So let's check it out. Let's go a little deeper. So for those who y'all who write down and take part, I have three parts I want to address with you today, and I'm going to get out your way. Three parts I want to address with our perception. Three part four. Number one, receive. Write these down. Receive, process, and analyze. Receive, process, and analyze. I want to work with those three constructs for you. Each one of these are a construct, and they all bring something to the table. So the first thing for somebody to see, there has to be what some kind of reception going on. You have to be open to something. See, some people don't see because they have decided to close themselves off to everything. Oh, come on. And that's some people who call themselves believers too. I don't see not one place in the scripture where Jesus turned away sinners because they didn't act a certain way, or they didn't smell a certain way, or they didn't talk the way he wanted them to talk, or they didn't look the way he wanted them to look, or they didn't meet that certain criteria, or they didn't have a certain income status, or they didn't have a certain, you know, bank account number, or they didn't have a certain job or a certain degree or a certain status in life. I saw he said that in his word that he was married to the backslider. Because when you in sin, you just want help. When you're sick, you want a doctor. So some of us at the point we don't see or we don't see well. Why? Because we've decided to close ourselves off to everything. You know, this week I had a conversation with a gentleman, and I won't call him out. And, you know, he was asking me some questions, and you know, sometimes I find myself, and I know I probably shouldn't do it. I'm working on it. Y'all pray for me. Then I get myself in sometimes these little Facebook debates. Because somebody's got to be a watchman on the wall. And that's what God has called us to be. And it gets to a point sometimes, I say, well, look, I inbox you my phone number, call me. Most of the time, I don't get called. But every now and then, I do. And I had a beautiful, beautiful conversation for about 2 hours with a gentleman out of Ohio. And you know what? He opened my eyes up to some things that I never considered before. Right? Not bad things. But this is one of these things. We build relationship with people. How do you build relationship with people? You got to be a little open. The Bible said he that shows himself friendly has friends. And some of us have gotten to the point we just close ourselves off to people so much. We don't want to talk. If he ain't saved, he ain't this. Well, how is he going to get saved? How is she going to get saved if they can't have a conversation with you? You know, me and my wife have been having this conversation. You know, I mean, we got a young girl who's becoming close to getting ready to be a teenager. And we talk about, you know, when do we start to have this talk about birds, you know, the birds and the bees or sex? okay, and what it is and things about your body. And, you know, we was, you know, asking some other friends about when did they start to have these conversations and stuff about with their children. And what we concluded is that I'd rather her to hear it from us, even if we think it's a little bit premature, than to get it from somebody else. And then she has a twisted perception of sex and sexuality and all this stuff the rest of her life because the first word she got was so screwed up. Are y'all with me? Now watch this metaphor. Watch this connection. That's the same thing with people with Christ. Those who are really seeking Christ, they ain't gonna just come out here and tell you. You know, I remember the first time I tried to have that sexual conversation with my folks. It was embarrassing. You know, I'm growing. I don't know about this, and I'm feeling a certain kind of way, and I want to ask my dad, but I don't want him to be looking at me weird and all this stuff, not realizing that this is natural and all this these kind of things. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the same curiosity when people want to get saved. They want to talk to you, but they don't know how you're going to treat them. They don't know if you're going to receive them. We're talking about your sight. Oh, excuse me. They don't know how you're going to receive them because you've been so closed-minded. Yes, I know you don't agree with homosexuality, but that's not what we're dealing with. We're talking about they just want to talk to you. Yes, they may be a homosexual, but open your listen. There may be an opportunity for ministry. I know she had an abortion or he cheats and he does this, but listen. Because such was some of you, and somebody listened to you. Do you see what I'm saying? And what you're going to find is that there's a lot more in common than you think there's difference. And now you're going to see a place and an opportunity to be able to help somebody who's crying out for help and know how to do it. You know, I've heard of like 2 suicides this week. 2. People crying for help. And it hurts me every time I hear that, not just because somebody took their life, but that's very important. But also I'm asking myself, Lord, where did we miss the mark? Because I was not what? I was not receptive. Therefore, I could not see. So the first part of seeing is that what? You have to be able to what? Receive light. Close your eyes right now. Like I got my eyes closed. You know what I see? Nothing. Why? Because my eyelids are extracting or obstructing my ability to receive light in my eye. Mm-hmm. So when you close yourself off, people say, oh, I'm being sanctified. I'm being set apart. That's not being sanctified. That's a sanctified lie. If you can't have a conversation with somebody and not keep your pants up, if you can't have a conversation with somebody and not decide you want to go out here and go sin, we need to send you back to the altar, baby. Because that Holy, somebody, you didn't get all that Holy Ghost right. You didn't get it. So, reception, receive. Let's go to Matthew 25 and 15. We talk about this receiving here. Let's talk about this receiving. Matthew, I want to go to what? 25 and 15. 25 and 15. All right. So, with receiving, there's 2 other parts of receiving. I want you to write like an A and a B part to this. An A and a B part to receiving. Write down scarcity and plenty. Scarcity and plenty. See, one thing with us as human beings, we live on the edges. We live on the fringes. What do you mean by the fringes, Peter? Most of us either live in scarcity or we live in plenty. There's really no in between. You either own or you off. You either scarce or you plentiful. Okay? Now let me explain to you about the 2 and how these 2 are here. When we talk about receiving, some of us receive in scarcity and some of us receive in plenty. See, those of us who receive in scarcity, we always live in this mindset that we always don't have enough. This is when you have people who run from church to church. You have those people we call itching ear folk. And, you know, they always got to have, you know, because they never have enough. And because what they see, but the problem is that the reason they never have enough is because they don't open themselves up to when God is actually given to get more than enough. Are you with me? What they do is they only take the parts that they like. You know, they'll meet somebody, unfortunately, who's going to watch what I'm teaching on and talking and preaching on today. They only going to take the parts that they like. And when he tells us what, put on the whole armor of God. There's some parts in this I don't like. But those parts I don't like, sometimes I find those are the parts that buffer me, that refine me, they make me a better believer. I didn't want to confront that. Peter, I had my own prejudice on yesterday. I was being somewhat, in my opinion, racist. And God was checking me on that. He was dealing with me on that all day long. Mm-hmm. I don't like that part. I don't like to be told that I'm wrong. Especially those who sit somewhere in, what we call it, my seat. Mm-hmm. The pastor seat. Pastors don't like being told when they're wrong. But they are. Some of them are. They wrong. And they know they are. But yet they'd rather live a lie because of perception. That's when your sight is messed up. Mm-hmm. So then he goes on. So scarcity. So what? They live in scarcity. So therefore, what? They only take the pieces that they want. Mm-hmm. They nibble. It's all over the place. Then you have this other part. Plenty. Those who live in plenty, what do? They have more than enough. So much so that they get so much that they are no good to nobody. Oh, these are these people we talk about who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Y'all heard that saying before? You're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. These are the people who are so full of the word. These are the people who are so Holy Ghost filled, da 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 da. They can't even talk to nobody. Oh, she ain't saved. Oh, I can't do this. And this is not what God told us to be. So we have people who are like, you barely making it, or you got so much of it that you wallowing in it. You waddle in it. And what good are you to anybody? Mm-hmm. Your Holy Ghost fat, and you're going to have a Holy Ghost heart attack, and sitting there, and you know what? You saved. Now let me get it right now. Are you saved? Yes. You just ain't up for no rewards, though. See, there's a difference. See, you can be saved. Oh, come on. Y'all going to have me. Woo! I don't know. This might be a long one today. You know, if you got to get off, you can get off. But, see, you can go out there and you can be saved and go to heaven and all this stuff, but not get the heavenly reward. There is a difference, right? Whether you know it or not, there is a difference. You know, you can be saved. You know, you confess and claim God and receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you're saved. However, there is a piece still missing. Do you want the reward? So not only do I want my crown, but I want nice jewels in my crown. You know how y'all been bedazzling and all these face masks and putting jewels and all that stuff? You know, black folk, we like shiny stuff. I don't know about you. How you get your shine on in Christ? Go to help somebody else get saved. Don't sit in the four walls of your little homemade church, you know, your place of residence, and nobody saved but you and yours. No, that's work to be done. This is why the Bible said what? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Why? Because they got the harvest and they're eating it all themselves. And they just becoming spiritually fat. And, you know, too much of anything is bad. Right? There's the difference. So what we find here, verse 25 says, and likewise that he had received two talents and he gave, and he also gained other two. But he received one talent, and he digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with him. And he said that he that had received his five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five more. And he said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful of a few things, I make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But he that had received two talents came in and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two others, and the other talents beside them. And he said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful of a few things, and I make thee ruler over many things. Thou enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strong. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the earth. And there hast thou that is thine. And he says this, and he said, his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I was, can't see that word is off there. Now I was reap. And when I sow not and gather where I had not straw, thou also have put thy money in this changer's hand, and then at my coming I should have at least received my own usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to one that had the 10 talents. What is he saying here? What does it do to pertain with receiving? As you receive, you give. But many of us in a place that we put our place and call ourselves being holy, that we've shut off everything to us. You all, we got to get out here and start talking to folks. We got a world that is dying, just dying for somebody to have some accountability. It's dying for somebody to say, you know what, please call me out, because I really don't want to do this. But by you calling me out, not because you're trying to belittle me, not because you're trying to shame me, it makes me know that I'm loved. The Bible says it like this. He said, he chastises them who he loves. So by God saying, uh-oh, Peter, you didn't do that right, he's reminding me that he cares about me and that he loves me. So therefore, now I pay attention because I feel loved. Think about what's happening here in the world. You got people out here that's doing all kinds of things, and they don't really want to do them, but what they're doing them is because they're trying to get some attention. They want to know that somebody out there loves them. They want to know that somebody cares for them. Before I go ahead and say I'm going to blow my brains out, they want to know if somebody's going to pick up the phone and say, look, man, bro, it ain't worth it, and this is why, and this is this, and this is all the world is crying out. We see Black Lives Matter and all this stuff, and all this stuff has its place, but what we see more than anything on both sides of the aisle, Black, white, Indian, Hispanic, Mexican, whatever the case may be, that we see a people who are crying out for a God that can save them. We got a sick world, and we got a God who can heal them, and we know the answer, yet we do what? We do like this guy. We take our talent and we dig it in the earth. Because we scared. That's scarcity. We scared we're going to lose. When God told us, he said, if you lose your life, then you actually gain it. When you decide to lose your life, you actually gain it. People, God, we cannot work off scarcity. I know some of you say, well, I'm scared of this, scared of that. I don't want to put my business out there. Somebody did it for you. Don't be so selfish. Don't be greedy. We're talking about the color of God today. I'm getting there. Scarcity. Number two, let's talk about processing. I want to go to Ephesians 6. Let's go to Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. I know a lot of y'all like this verse. I hear people quote it all the time. Romans 12 and 2. All right, so I was going to tell you go to Ephesians 6:11, but we know what Ephesians 6:11 is. You know, that's probably my favorite verse of all time. It said, put on the whole armor of God. And he said, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but put on the whole armor of God and all the doing the stand, and, you know, and go on. Now, when we talk about, when we're in process, and so number one, to be able to see, you got to be able to receive light. Number two, the second thing that has to happen is, and those who are taking notes, write this down, processing has to happen. So you and I are always in a process. We're constantly in the process. When I told you my story from yesterday, that was me processing. Why? Because I constantly put myself in the mirror and said, what can Peter do to be a better believer today? What can Peter do to help somebody else along the way today? Because in me helping somebody else, my needs always get met. My needs always get met. I've not had a need that's not been met because I stopped and I helped somebody else. All my needs have been met. So I'm constantly finding out, what else can I learn? Where else can I go? What else can I understand? And when a God points things out to me, yes, it's a hard truth because I didn't want to believe that I was that way. But I'm here to tell you that I was, and I am, and I'm still working through that. And the truth of the matter is, you are too. And we all working through this. So it has to be a process. And we cannot abort the process. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy work to confront yourself and say that I was wrong. It's not easy work to say that, you know what, I need to go back. God, I still see men as trees. I don't see them clearly yet. I don't see men for who they are. I don't see men for who you call them to be. I see them as trees. And therefore, there's some work to be done. I saw those men yesterday as trees because I felt entitled. Like, why should they be here? I paid a lot of money to be in this neighborhood. What's wrong with me? It's none of my stuff. God blows on my job tomorrow. What am I going to do? Got a little savings, but when that goes away, what are you going to do? Don't get yourself in a place that you think you should be higher than you should. Because God has a way. You know, one sickness can wipe your whole bank account out. Come down with cancer and find out. Give me a call. You're fine. People spend all their time getting wealth, and then they're going to spend all their wealth trying to keep their health. That's why, you know, Bob said, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be what? Added unto you. Why? Because I have to rely on him, because I know the little bit I got, he blow on it. What am I going to do? I'm in the same boat with everybody else. So don't ever look your nose down on anybody. I don't care who they are. Because that's not what God called us to do. And we got to be careful of that. For us who think we have a so-called a ride, me included. Because I'm like, well, I did this and I did it. And then God reminds me, Peter, you did nothing. You was a flunky like everybody else. But I saw fit because you believed me and you trusted me that I put my hands on your little poor ugly self and pulled you out of Henderson and took you some places and showed you some things and got you to interact with some other people and gave you some access. Boy, you ain't nobody. Because as quick as I gave it to you, it can be taken away. This is why the Bible reminds us that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but what is it? Promotion comes from God. And you want to be promoted by who? God. Because if God promotes you, then nothing they can do. But if they promote you, when they get tired of you, when you don't say things the way they want you to say them, when you don't go how they want you to go, if you don't play the way they play, or as we say, being nice in the sandbox, is the term I like to use at work, they'll get rid of you. Then what are you going to do? Are y'all with me? Am I making sense to anybody this morning? All right, so we have to be careful of that. So the processing, all right, Romans 2 and 12, and it says this. It said, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, most people stop at be ye transformed, but they don't talk about the rest of it. He said, you got to change how you think about people. We're talking about the color of God. Someone's got to change. I have those things too. You know, how, you know, people, we always talk about how white people, oh, he see him coming down the street with dread, he get on the other side of the sidewalk. I do too. Oh, come on, somebody. I know they ain't liking me today, but it's all right. I'm God's man. It's going to be okay. I was getting on the other side of the sidewalk too. If their pants were down, I was going the other side of the sidewalk too. I said, Lord, they might be caring. So we're part of the problem too, if the truth be told. But it starts with our conversation and this processing. And some of that very well may be true. But it also starts with a conversation and say, hey, man, let me show you a better way. Because that might be all I know. That might be all I was exposed to. And you've been exposed to this wonderful, beautiful light. If you've been exposed to it, why can't you give it to somebody else? But you decided to cut off your receptacle. You closed your eyes, so you can't receive any light. You can't receive any perception, so therefore you don't see anything. And therefore you what? You don't see nothing. You only go off what you hear. Woo! Oh my God, come on somebody. You don't read it, because you can't see it. You can't perceive it. So you only hear it, which is junk, because you hear it from everybody else besides hearing from God. And now when you hear it from everybody else besides God, they put in any old form of ungodliness that they want. You take it as gospel. You take it as Rush Limbaugh. You take it as CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and all this other stuff and Roland Martin and all the rest of them. That's what you take it as, instead of listening to what God has told you to do and doing what he's told you to say and going where he's told you to go. But you'd rather listen to them. And they don't care about you at all. But yet we have a God that sits on the throne who cares about you and I, that's telling us, watch what I'm telling you. But how do you watch? You got to be able to receive. And when they're receiving, there's a processing. How do we process? Through the word of God. If the word of God tell me I can't do it, I can't do it. That's how I process. I measure it against the word. If the word says I can do it, then I can do it. Did you see what I'm saying? So he said, be transformed. So what? Not to be conformed to the world. Why? Because the world is trying to change the standard. I told you in the beginning, color is the color it is. Red is the red. Red is the color it is. Why? Because we have decided as a community that red is going to be this kind of hue or this saturation. And what we are on the mark of now is, yeah, not only with all taking out all the statues and all this stuff, it's going to become standard. So what's going to happen at some point, just like they're taking out all the Confederate statues, the black ones, they're coming for those too. Because now what? The standard has changed. Are y'all with me this morning? The standard has changed. And now really after the standard, wake up, open your eyes, and see, receive, and process. Say, no, it's not about the statute. It's about the standard. And when this becomes standard, it becomes norm. And when it becomes norm, it becomes normalized. And now being normal is based off of that. And if you don't meet that criteria, now you are considered abnormal. Don't be surprised when it comes to the day to be a Bible thumping, tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized person becomes an abnormal thing. Oh, they speak in tongues over there. They crazy. Mm-hmm. They believe in being baptized. They crazy. They believe in living holy. They crazy. They believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. They crazy. Mm-hmm. Them Jesus only folk. They crazy. When it was the standard, but the standard got changed while we were asleep on the wall. So how do you do? So when you start to receive these things, you process. Why? Because now in my process, and God is getting me ready. So this is what, I'm not going to be part of the world. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to be part of it. He said, don't be conformed. Conform mean what? I'm changing my standard. The standard is the standard. I didn't create it. I just got to live by it. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you renew your mind? Because every day this world is conditioning us to think a certain way. They're conditioning us to see a certain way, that this should be normal now. That should be normal. That this should be the new norm, so to speak. So what is he telling you? How do you not get that way? You have to renew your mind daily. Why? I have to pick up my Bible. I have to touch and agree. I have to go to church when I'm able to. And not because I'm just going because I want to go to a building, but I'm going to what? To join with believers to reassure myself of my positioning in God, because there's what? Strength in numbers. And I'm there to renew my mind that what? That I may be able to prove what is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There is a will of God that's not the perfect will of God. We call it the permissive will. These are the things he lets you do. Because that's the way that he has that will be perfect. But then it's this way that we have that he let us do some things. Like, he told you not to marry him, and you did it anyway. He didn't get rid of you as his child. He's just like, when my kid do something, I'm not happy about it, but he's still my child. I still love him. So what? I love them through the mistake, and we go on. When he told you not to go buy this house you couldn't afford, when he told you not to go get in debt, when he told you not to take that job, that wasn't the job for you. I'm just saying. You know, if that shoe fits your, I mean, if the shoe fits your, I mean, as we used to say, what, if the shoe fits your feet, you wear it. You have to own it. It's a mistake. It's okay. You're still alive, and you're going to make it. But again, accountability. Don't fool yourself. You put yourself there. I did. Okay, I did that. All right. But Lord, I need your help because I messed up. And he's what? More than just to help us. This perfect will of God. So the last part, and I'm going to get on out of here because I done been Bolivia. Are y'all enjoying this today? Are y'all getting anything out? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Oh, man. Oh, God. God just dropped some of the craziest stuff on me sometimes. You just never know when it's going to come and how it's going to come. And, you know, I'm just great. So let's talk about this last part. Analyzing. When we actually analyzing, this is what that get up and do something part of it. The get up and do something part of it. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I want to go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Shout out to Blue Letter Bible. I've always loved this, y'all. They've been around for a long time. This is just a wonderful resource. If you don't have a Bible, you can go on the internet and go to BlueLetterBible.org. Drop them a couple of dollars, y'all. This is a great website. All right, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. So give you a little bit of context here that Timothy is a young man. He's a young man in God. And Timothy is being belittled by the older people, the older saints. I know some of us are at this point in time now, and I find myself here is that we're the tweeners. You know, I'm not a millennial. And I'm not a baby boomer. I'm just a part of that X. And I believe that Generation X, we are really what we're going to, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah that we are what? The bridges of the gap, you know, of the breach. We are the menders of the breach, okay? And he talks about this bridge that's going to be built over. And, you know, so we have this one generation that's doing this, you know, the baby boomers, to be in all in totality, and it's not everybody, but in general, they're very greedy people. We've seen that. They vote everything for themselves, and they don't care about nobody else. And, you know, we can see that. You don't have to agree with me. Go do the work for yourself. You'll see it. They vote a certain way because the baby boomers, because the way it's so many of them, if they all decide to vote this way, then they all get there. If they all decide to go that way, they all get that way. So this is why you see all the laws continually changing. Retirement ages and all this stuff is being changed and all this stuff being affected because they're the ones doing the voting. They're the ones that are in office. They're the ones making all the laws, and they only voted for themselves, which is an atrocity because there's generations behind them. And what they did is they made a can and they kicked this ball, and now they punted this ball to the Generation X. And now we as Generation X, we have an opportunity or some decisions to make. Are we going to plant it to the next generation, or are we going to take care of it? And some of them in this generation are saying that I did not create it, so why are they passing it to me? Just like we've been past this thing of racism that's never been taken care of. We've been past this thing of economic turmoil that we've been past. It's a lot of stuff that this generation has been past that we did not create. And our forefathers did it. Come on, somebody. Oh, let me give you a quick example. Some people say, baby, you can't be talking about that. Let me tell you why I can. Because in Exodus, my Bible tells me there was a children of Israel that God had promised them that they were going to the promised land. And they were on their way. But you know why they didn't go? Because them old folk among them, oh, come on, I ain't picking on old people. I'm just calling it like it is. That group that was among them were murmuring and they were complaining. And they were murmuring and complaining, which should have been, from what the Bible tells us, is maybe a three to maybe a week journey to go to Canaan, to the promised land. End up taking 40 years. And why did it take 40 years? God allowed them to walk around in circles until every last one of them died. That's in your Bible. You tell me. And when they all died, what happens? They magically go to the promised land. Not magically, but you know what I'm saying. So you tell me. So you find yourself here. So then we have the millennials. Who care, but they've been watching how the boomers been treated and they're treating them. Then they watch how the exos are kind of in here. We've been kind of asleep. And so now the millennials, they like, well, who do we look up to? Who do I go to when I need some advice? Do you see what I'm saying? And this is why it seems that we have a generation that's lost, but I'm here to tell you that it's not a lost generation. They just waiting on some of us to get it right. They're waiting for some of us to be authentic. They're waiting for some of us to be real. They're waiting for some of us to tell the truth. Yeah, baby, I struggled with my sexuality. Yeah, baby, I cheated on my wife. Yeah, I cheated on my taxes. Yeah, I was stealing this and that. Yeah, I was a drunk. Yeah, I smoked weed. Yep, I smoked a little dope. I sniffed a little white horse. I did all these things. Oh, but some of us don't want to talk like that. Because some of us, if we're going to save some people, if people are going to get saved and people want to know the genuine power of God, they got to know our story. That I did not walk around, that I was promiscuous and I did whatever I wanted to do. And I was slinging it to everybody who was going to let me have it and all this kind of stuff. But some of us are too embarrassed. But if anything, what it is, it's a testimony to the power and strength of a God who cares. We're talking about the color of God today. What more powerful testimony than your authenticity? Who wants to buy something that's fake? And we've been selling Generation X fake goods for a long time. And this is why it's not that they don't want to. They're waiting for us to get it together. Us, don't be a fake baby. So then he goes on and says, so this is what he tells Timothy. So now this is, I want to set the background what Timothy is dealing with. So this is what Timothy was dealing with. And now this is what Paul tells Timothy, and is what I'm also telling you today. He says in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study. You got to put in some work, y'all. This stuff just doesn't magically fall out of the sky. You don't get paid just because you don't show up. No, you got to show up, do the work, then you get paid. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That means you're working, that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you put in the time, you put in the effort, you're not ashamed of your work. That's why I told you all today. I said, you know, I might not be the best preacher, but I know I can teach my butt off. Why? Because I put in the work. And it's part of my gifting, and it's part of my talent, and I know and I understand that. So therefore, now I have to put in the work. And then I used to have this saying on the bottom of my email say that hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard. Hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard. What are you saying? You're saying that, okay, if you work hard, you can beat talent. But if you're a talented baby and you work hard, ain't nothing nobody can do about it. And some of us have been so talented, but we've been getting by just on our talent. What if you decide to actually put in some time? What if you really decide to really put in some time in that business? What if you really decide to really put in some time into that singing career or that thing that God has laid before you or your prayer life? You know you can get some prayers. People will call you and you'll pray and get a prayer through and you barely be praying. What if you really decided, I'm going to pray and I'm going to really go at it? What then? Boy, you probably can shoot loose heaven from now. Because some of you have that ability. Yet, what do? That's what, remember, I read the verse before. We talk about these talents, right? You have these talents, and what are you doing? But I'm telling you what he said, dude. This is the analyzed part. We're talking about the color of God today. That what? You got to be a workman. This is how you're going to be able to what? See this different color. He said, not need to be ashamed. Because then you ain't got to be ashamed. Like I tell you, I put my teaching against anybody. Bring them on. That's how confident I'm in this. That's not a boast or a brag, but I understand the amount of work and time I put into this. This just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. That's some work. That's some effort put into this. All right? So when you put in the work and effort, you ain't worried about it. That's why Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan. Y'all see the amount of time he worked? Do y'all see the amount of time that Kobe Bryant would put into playing basketball? We know so much now about him after his death. They said the man would be up there shooting basketball 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, then go play a game, then come back and shoot some more. I was like, when did he even spend any time with his family? But then when game time came, he performed. Why? Because he put in the work. Let's go to Luke 14 and 23, and this is my last one, I promise. I guess I better hold on to that. I've been promised it now. 14 and 23. And I'm going to get on out of here. Luke 14 and 23, he says this. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come, and that my house may be filled. You know why our churches and our places and why our Facebooks and all this stuff is not filled? We haven't done anything to compel them. We've not done anything to compel them. We've done a lot to repel them, but not compel them. Why are they being repelled? When they see you just doing dumb stuff. I am my brother's keeper. That's some stuff I want to do, y'all, but I know I just can't do it. Why? Because there's going to be somebody in life who's going to be affected because I did that. And when I think about some dumb stuff sometimes that I want to do, I think about those people who've been watching me on Facebook that I don't even know their name. But you know what? They would hear if I did something stupid, though. They'll never call me. They'll probably never email me, but they've been watching my walk. They see me in my ups. They see me in my downs. They see me when things have happened to me, unfortunately. They see me at some of my wins. Yeah, Facebook, social media, these are highlight reels for many of us. And I purposely, intentionally make it my highlight reel in that you see both of them, when I'm down and I'm up. You know, y'all saw me lose 100 pounds. You saw me gain 105 back, 110 back. And if you notice right now, your boy, you're getting closer to losing that 100 again. I'm not far off now. Why? Because it's a process. And my success is like this. Up, down, up. See, people, we keep telling people that this, oh, you're going to be successful. And you just go like this. Yeah. And it's never like that. It's more like this. And then sometimes it goes back like this. And then it goes like this. And then your mama died. And your brother died. And the father-in-law passes away. And the job is lost. And this and that. And you said, Lord, I just want to quit. Why am I doing this? And Lord, you said you never seen the righteous forsaken. You know, the seed begging for bread. And I'm over here and I'm over there. Lord, why do I feel that I want to be racist? And I want to do say these things to people, Lord? Why is it the preachers that I believed and the ones I trusted, Lord, it seemed like they walked away from the faith and they running into their own thing and they making their own gospel because they trying to fill their own pockets. And Lord, it's so frustrating. So why should I keep going? Why should I not just throw in the towel and say, hell, I'm going to go to hell. Let me enjoy the trip and let me enjoy with everybody else. Because if I'm going to go in torment, but then there's something inside of me, that Holy Ghost, that Jehovah Jireh is my provider, the Jehovah Nisi, that he said he's going to fight my battles. And when I want to let go and when I want to throw in the towel, when I want to walk away, he said, you can't do it because I've called you out to be a peculiar people. And because I called you out to be peculiar, I never told you it was going to be easy, but I told you that I'll never leave you in the righteous that would be forsaken. Woo! And he told us that we'd be camping, that he was going to fix it. And I have to walk by faith and know that he's going to fix it. And it seemed like they went. And it seemed like I want to throw in the towel. And it seemed like, Lord, it's the ninth, it's the bottom of the ninth, and we got two strikes. And the bases are loaded, Lord, and I got to have a base hit. Lord, it's 5 seconds on the clock, and all I got is a touch and shoot. It's 4th and 100, Lord, and all I got is the Hail Mary, Lord. Woo! But we can't give up, y'all. We can't give up. Can't. These babies depending on us, y'all. If we ain't teaching them, who gonna tell them? Because the baby boomers didn't gave up. They didn't. They don't care. You know, it's about them. They didn't gave up, but we can't. We can't. That's not who he called us to be. We can't. And we gotta listen to him say that. Well done. So change. So what are we looking at here? Let me wrap this up. Changing our perception helps us to identify the color. So what is the color of God? Well, the truth of the matter is, God doesn't have a color. Why does he not have a color? Because color is a human constraint or construct. It's something that we designed. The Bible didn't say he designed a color. He just put the things out there, and he gave us the ability to interpret them. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he told Adam this. He said, whatever you call the animals is what they're going to be. He gave him delegated authority. It's not our construct, but he knew that Adam had to have a way to what? To be able to talk about these things and be able to categorize these things because his mind was finite. But when you serve an infinite God, a God that you can't put your arms around, a God that you can't constrain, a God that you can't put in a box, then how can you put him one color? He's all of them. And he allows us to call the different ones when we need them. Lord, I need you to be red today. Lord, I need you to be white today. Lord, I need you to be purple today. Lord, I need you to be green today. Lord, I need you to be orange today. And all of these live where? Inside of him. So the color of God is all. It's willing. But the problem is we don't accept all. We only accept white. We only accept black. We only accept orange. Why? Because we've cut off our receptacles that we don't receive more light. We don't receive more understanding. We don't receive more conversation with people. We don't have why? Because we're worried about losing that one little bitty talent that he gave us. When he told us what? Open it up and receive it and give it. And when you give it, then it's going to be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That men are going to give it to your bosom. He ain't just talking about money. He's talking about thoughts. He's talking about understanding. He's talking about process. And then as I hear all these different things, see, the problem ain't hearing them, but you got to do what? You got to process them out. This is where we get lazy. So how do you process this, Peter? You go back and you take your Bible and say, Lord, this is what I heard. This is what I heard. This is what I heard this person say. And now what I'm going to do, I'm going to process it. I'm going to process it. I'm going to process it out. You see what I'm saying? Now, Lord, what does your word say about this? Lord, where is the contrary about this? Lord, where does this all fit in together? Do you see what I'm saying? And then he'll tell you. And then what do you do? Then you analyze that. You walk out on that. How does this help me to compel them to come a little bit better? Because our number one charge was what? To go into all the lands and compel them to come. That was the great mission. That's the mission of the gospel. It ain't for me to go ahead and fix this and do that. He didn't tell me to build synagogues. He didn't tell me to build all these things. He said, what? Do this. And he said, what? Preach my word, and I will draw them unto me. But what? We've got to this point that we made it about us. And what we do is we continually try to fit God in our box. And we wanted God to fit in our box of crayons, and he didn't fit. So when I find that people say, oh, yeah, I got God over here in my box, I know that's not God. When they tell me, oh, well, God is only over here with us, I know that's not God. Why? Because he's too fine. He's infinite. He's too big. He doesn't fit. So when people try to tell you that he fits over here, walk away. I listen. But when I get to my processing point, oh, come on, remember those three things I told you. Don't forget them. Remember, you are there's reception. You got to receive. Receiving is what? Taking it in. I listen. Mm-hmm. Because this is, you know, if I listen to you, you got to listen to me. It's a two-way street. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. Then what? But when I get to the process, see that process, that's an internal thing. It's like, okay, he told me this, but yeah, he don't really know. Well, she told me that. Well, you know, they told me, yeah, you know what? It might have a point there. And then you have what? The analyze part. What am I acting out on? I heard it, but what parts of this am I going to act out on? What parts of this, God, are you calling me to? What parts of this, Lord Jesus, I'm to go forward and work your will? We're talking about the color of God today. So how do you see the color of God? Number one, you open up your eyes. You receive. You talk to people. People can't get saved if you don't talk to them. There's somebody who just wants you to acknowledge their presence today. And they thinking about blowing their brains out. And you can save them by something simple, just saying, hey, how are you doing? I see you there. You're not the invisible man. We're not reading Ralph Waldo Emerson today. You're not invisible to me. But we got people who walk around who are invisible. That's all colors. And they just invisible to people. Don't let anybody be invisible to you today. And then when you go through that, process this thing. I'm constantly renewing myself. I'm not perfect. Like I told you, I had some issues yesterday. I'm probably going to have an issue today. So I'm constantly renewing. Lord, where did I fall short? And what you're doing is what you're measuring against his standard. Lord, where did I fall short? Oh, I did this. Nope, I'm too high than I think I ought to be. So let me get myself back there. Oh, but I'm here. I'm falling short. It's a constant thing. It's a work. Paul called it, we're working towards perfection. Yes? Then we finish up with what? The act. The Bible said, faith without works is what? Dead. Gotta believe it, but you gotta do something about it. So I hope this day was a blessing to you all, brothers and sisters. I really have just poured my heart out. I believe what God has given me for you on today, that the color of God is us doing that work. That he didn't fit in this box, he don't fit in that box. He doesn't go in Crayolas or rose art. It just didn't go in there. But what he does have for us, he wants us to have life, and he wants to have this life what more abundantly. So God bless you all on this day. Hope that you stick around a little bit here. I'm heavy right now. I pray that this was a blessing to someone on today, that you come to learn him and learn him in a different way, and just to know that, you know, God is, he's able. At this point, I'm going to go in. Just feel the call of prayer upon the life, and then we're going to go to an offering part of our service. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord. We just want to say thank you.